Thank you, Owen. So, I don't know how many of you know this, but we're in Psalms this summer. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord, for your word, we give you thanks. Though at times there are parts of it that confound us and are difficult for us to read, we trust that you have something to teach us. We ask that you would teach us now, that you would open our eyes and our ears and soften our hearts that we might be receptive to your word spoken to us. We ask that you would set the man aside, that your spirit might speak freely and change our lives. We pray these things in your name. Amen. This morning's psalm is Psalm 137. Listen now for the word of the Lord. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and there we wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our harps. For there our captors asked us for songs and our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, sing to us one of the songs of Zion. How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. Let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you. If I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. Remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem's fall. How they said, tear it down, down to its foundations. O daughter Babylon, you devastator, happy shall they be who pay you back for what you have done to us. Happy shall they be who take your little ones and dash them against the rock. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There's a story told about a number of 30-year-old friends who had a reunion and were discussing where they should go for dinner. Somebody suggested that they meet at the Glowing Embers Diner because the waiters and waitresses there are young and beautiful. They all agreed. 15 years later, at the age of 45, they met again and they discussed where they should eat dinner. And again, someone suggested the Glowing Embers because the food and wine selection there were so very good. And they all agreed. 15 years later, now at the age of 60, they got together and they thought, where should we go to eat? And somebody suggested the Glowing Embers because you can eat there in peace and quiet. And the restaurant is smoke-free. That sounds good. They all agreed. 15 years later, they met again. At the age of 75, the group discussed again where they should meet. Somebody suggested, how about the Glowing Embers Diner? The restaurant is physically accessible and they even have an elevator. They all agreed. Finally, at the age of 90, the same group of friends discussed one more time where they should go to eat. And somebody suggested, how about the Glowing Embers? We've never been there. They all agreed. This is a psalm, first and foremost, about memory. The psalmist sits with the Jewish people on the banks of the Euphrates River in Babylon. As they are being taunted by their Babylonian conquerors, they face a very, very real and grave danger. But that danger is not from the Babylonians, or at least not directly. The gravest danger they face is that they will forget. Without the memory of Zion, instilled by parents and grandparents, the next generation will only know Babylon. They have never seen Zion, and they will become Babylonian. Without memory, all that it means to be Jewish will disappear. When I lived in Southern California, I was a pastor for the English-speaking congregation of a Chinese church. This was necessary because I don't speak Chinese. This congregation that I was a pastor of consisted primarily of American-born second-generation Chinese immigrants. Now, the greatest fear and frustration of both the Mandarin and the Cantonese-speaking congregations was that their children and their grandchildren, who were a part of the English congregation, were becoming less and less Chinese. The language was being forgotten, the traditions were being left behind, and their children were becoming American because they didn't know or remember China. Without the memory of China, what it means to be Chinese was being forgotten. Without memory, Israel will be forgotten, Zion will be forgotten, and God's people will simply become Babylonian. The difficulty is that for the psalmist, many of the memories of her homeland are not good ones. She watched her city besieged for years. She watched it be destroyed by violent and ungodly people. She watched as her loved ones were put to death, as her children were killed and pregnant wombs were ripped open. And now as she sits on the shores of Babylon, she is being mocked by her captors. Hey, sing for us one of those songs of joy, why don't you? She won't do it. She's going to hang up her harp. She won't let her captors taunt her. And she won't pretend any longer like life in Babylon is what she wants. She wants to forget. She wants to put it behind her. But she knows how dangerous it is to forget. And so she insists that she will not forget. If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. The hand that would play the harp that is now hung in the tree. Let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. The tongue that would sing the songs if I do not remember you. Some of you have heard of the author Elie Wiesel. Elie Wiesel died about a year ago. He was a Holocaust survivor who entered Auschwitz when he was a teenager. When he was delivered from the camps, he decided that he would spend his life making sure that people didn't forget. In 1986, Wiesel received the Nobel Peace Prize, and I would like to read for you a bit of his acceptance speech. "I remember," he begins, "it happened yesterday, or eternities ago. A young Jewish boy discovered the kingdom of night. I remember his bewilderment. I remember his anguish. It all happened so fast. The ghetto, the deportation, the sealed cattle car, the fiery altar upon which the history of our people and the future of humankind were meant to be sacrificed. I remember that boy asked his father, 'Can this be true? This is the 20th century, not the Middle Ages. Who would allow such crimes to be committed? How could the world remain silent?' And now," he says, "the boy is turning to me. 'Tell me,' he asks, 'what have you done with my future? What have you done with your life?' And I tell him that I have tried. That I have tried to keep memory alive. That I have tried to fight those who would forget. Because if we forget, we are guilty. We are accomplices." Elie Wiesel believed that the most important task he had as a Holocaust survivor was to keep the memory of the Holocaust alive. That's not an easy thing to do. Not only are those memories painful for him, but he lives in a world where those memories are painful for all of us. Memory is unsettling. Remembering brings up painful feelings. It stirs in us grief and anger, and we want to forget. But Wiesel refuses to let us. He shared in another place that the worst thing that could happen for him and for those who have suffered is what he called a silence of memory. What he meant by that is not a memory that is done silent. One can remember in silence, acknowledging that the horror is too great to voice. But if memory is silenced, if there is a silence of memory, well, then we are all guilty and we all become accomplices. There can be no silence of memory. A silence of memory is dangerous, maybe even disastrous in times of suffering and injustice. But remembering is equally dangerous, because our psyches can't handle the constant reminders of injustice and agony. Elie Wiesel put it this way: without the ability to forget, man would live in a permanent, paralyzing fear of death. Only God, and God alone, can and must remember everything. I think of soldiers who return from war, who have seen and maybe done unspeakable things. To forget, well, it seems like a betrayal. But to remember can tear their minds and their hearts in two. This reality is no less true for those who have watched loved ones suffer or die. To forget seems like a betrayal. But to remember seems like more than we can bear. I think of those who watch in horror as little girls are enslaved for the sexual gratification of disgusting old men, or an entire population of people who are stripped of their humanity because of the color of their skin or the god they worship or the person they love. To forget is a betrayal. But to remember is beyond our ability to bear. In these times, the silence of memory seems necessary to ease the pain. And so we live in this dichotomous world, in this tension where we must both remember and forget. A world where forgetting can cause us to lose touch with our very selves, and where remembering is perhaps more than we can bear. So what do we do? Only God, and God alone, can and must remember everything. I think the psalmist would agree. The gruesome words of Psalm 137 that end this chapter: happy shall they be who pay you back for what you have done to us. Happy shall they be who take your little ones and dash them against the rock. These words seem so out of place for those of us who believe that God calls us to love even those who might be counted as our enemies. They seem out of place for those of us who believe that God calls us to love and to pray for those who would hurt us. The psalmist, who may have herself seen her child dashed upon the rock, or had the baby ripped from her womb as Babylon conquered Jerusalem, utters words of what can only be described as vengeance. The psalmist remembers, and she knows she must, but the memory is too painful. The injustice of what she has experienced is beyond her capacity to handle, and so she cries out to God. She needs to forget. For her own sanity, she needs to put it behind her, but to do so seems a travesty of justice. Who will speak on behalf of the voiceless? Who will speak on the behalf of those who have been dashed against the rock? There can be no silence of memory. To do so seems a betrayal of herself. It seems a betrayal of her people. It seems a betrayal of her city. And so she does the only thing she can do. She asks the one who alone can and must remember everything, to remember on her behalf. Remember, Yahweh. Remember, O Lord. Friends, these verses made their way into the worship literature of Israel. These are songs that were sung in worship. They remind us that the true worship of God doesn't mean that we must forsake the pains and injustices we have seen or we have suffered. We need not pretend like our hearts are whole. They remind us that worship doesn't require a silence of memory. I believe with everything in me that God came in Jesus Christ to redeem all that it means to be human. God came to redeem our love and our joy, our friendship and our families. But God also came to redeem our sorrow, our grief, our suffering, our outrage, our brokenness. God came to remember for us. God alone can and must remember everything. So I ask you, what do you want God to remember this morning? What can you not let go of because to do so seems unfaithful, seems treasonous, or disloyal? Maybe you haven't felt like worship is the place to remember. Maybe you do your remembering somewhere else. If I have made you feel like worship is a place for your memories to be silenced, forgive me. I was wrong. This morning's psalm reminds us that it is God alone who can and must remember everything. Take a moment to bring your memories to God. Take a moment to ask that God to remember on your behalf so that you can be healed.
Continuing to reflect and pray,